been a while.
Bruh. All right, so who's gonna kick it off?
Well, I gotta kick it off.
You good for it. Right, and the camera's right there. Camera right
on. Well, what's up, fam? It's the fellas. We back.
We back.
You see?
Now we back.
Ricky Ross. The biggest boss.
Hey, man. All my fans, man. I love y'all.
Hey, we got Jay Bowie over here.
What's up, fam?
We got our boy Quinn. Quinn been behind the scenes for what?
The whole time.
The whole time.
We had to bring him to the front.
Yeah, man. He got a lot of stuff to say. This your boy Phil.
And he's a pastor.
Yes, he is.
He is a pastor.
Ain't we all? What?
I'm a minister.
Well, y'all. Y'all some pastors.
Y'all pastors. He's an elder.
Elder.
And you're a prophet to the nation.
I got oil on me right now. My hands oiled right now. Man.
So, let's kick it off, man. Yeah. So, you know, we had this talk to do some good conversations. Obviously, you know, we all got different perspectives, points of views. But we all kind of men in the middle with, you know, the overall idea. So today we're going to talk about men and trauma. So Q is our definition, man. What is trauma?
So let's see what the definition says here. Had it up already. According to American Psychological Association, trauma is an emotional response to a terrible event like an accident, rape, or natural disaster. According to Webster, an injury to living tissue caused by an extrinsic agent, a disordered psychic or behavioral state resulting from severe mental or emotional stress or physical injury, and then an emotional upset. So those are.
Okay. So like the biggest
classified
thing.
Classified definitions.
All right. Biggest thing that stuck out was basically like the emotional aspect of it, how certain events that we experience is it creates an emotional response. And that emotional response could be crucial for some where it's not as crucial for others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we was talking about this last night. I guess I can say that. We was talking about this last night. And, you know, what's trauma for one person isn't trauma for another. But we understand that trauma is not a one scenario type incident. It's broad. So trauma on your body, trauma emotionally, you know, how far can we go with that?
Trauma is, we don't even think about the fact that it's genetic. Mm. Like there are some traumas that have been passed down through generations that, true. So there are some situations or things that we deal with that we inherited and then don't even know the root cause of it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And so think about it, just inherently, we're black men. That's traumatic in itself.
Yeah, undeniable. Yeah.
And so when you think about, I think we talked about it last night, the one thing we can all agree, we're all upstanding citizens, but the moment the blue and red lights whoop, come up behind us, bro, I can have a clean driver's license. I know I ain't got nothing in the car, but there's still something about that incident
right.
taking place that you're just like, God, just let me get home.
Right. You're right, because Caroline Leaf, Dr. Caroline Leaf, she talks about that in her book, about how your DNA is impressionable, and it literally changes. But when you talk about the bloodline, there are things in the DNA that can be transferred from one generation to another because of unhealed or unresolved trauma. It mm-hmm. will pass from one generation
it's,
to
it's
the next.
Like a learned behavior, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, like my father, he grew up with civil rights and certain things like that. So police officers have always been an issue for him. The colonizers have always been an issue for him.
The caucus.
Them. due to the fact of what he went through growing up.
Right.
And he grew up in segregation, too. So when I came along, he was learning new behaviors, but that stigma was still on him. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of things he would tell me, hey, you know, if it's too many of them, you know,
right.
go the opposite way. If you go to Dillard's in the Galleria and the ladies following you around, make sure that whatever you pick up is visible for the cameras.
Right.
So you won't give them an opportunity to attack you in that particular way. And one of his biggest things was make it back home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's been a lot of situations growing up where we've been pulled over. Coming from my favorite club, T-Town, at the time.
And then they had like the...
Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
And
T-Town used to have that barbecue outside.
T-Town was a joint, man. T-Town was a joint on radio.
But I don't know nothing about that. I never went to T-Town.
I just heard it on the radio, 97.9 The Box.
I was there. I'm not going to lie. I was there. every weekend, I was there. Me and my boys. But just trying to make sure that we made it home. So, and being able to make it home, even though we've been in certain situations, it's because of the learned behaviors or the traumas of our parents. So you just have to be mindful of that stuff. So even now, I have a 9-year-old. We've had that conversation. Hey, if the police come after you, don't run. Daddy will come get you if you are in the right.
Right.
But don't do anything to make them do anything to you, because you have all these incidents that's happened in the last 10 years with teenagers, kids being shot. Then like 2 or 3 years ago, a 7-year-old got shot going into his own window.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you just have to understand the magnitude of the traumas that we have and how we have to keep growing from them. Because it's not getting better, it's getting worse.
Mm.
So sometimes those traumas can be good, because it's a wall of protection. Because if we say, oh, we're going to go against the grain, oh, no, I'm not going to listen to a police officer, you give them an opportunity to do what they want to do anyway in certain aspects. So
let's talk about that. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, we are being trained on what to fear. We're being trained on what to like. We're being trained on what to purchase. Like, it used to just be TV. Social media has the ultimate control. Like, when you think about it, fam, I didn't even watch the Wilder Fury fight. I just knew they were going to be showing highlights on Instagram. Why would I spend that money? They're going to show all the best parts of the fights.
Right.
So, like, when people get that news from Twitter, they don't get that news from the websites anymore. You know what I mean? So when you think about the trauma that we have, where they're showing all the things that took place on black young men.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're showing that on CNN at the touch of your finger. But what's funny is, if it happens to a caucus individual, oh, this is very sensitive.
Right, right.
We don't need to show it, but it's okay to show a black person gunned down.
Before you go there,
thank you.
No, before you go there,
you drop these dimes.
No, I'm just saying before we go there, right? First, we got to understand too. We are at a place where information is like at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, you wouldn't find out news until 2 or 3 days later.
News used to be 1 hour a day back in the day, didn't it?
The local news, for the most part, unless you're watching, you know, world news or things like that. But typically, what's going on in California, you won't necessarily know in Tennessee.
Right.
Right. So what I'm saying is, sometimes the trauma is the same. It's just that we are able to see it more. Like we are able to see what's going on in different cities and different places. So sometimes the trauma is like the same. So what you say, it got worse? It's just being highlighted more.
It's televised.
Mm. It's being shown more. So now we get it at the quick of a dime. Now we know about an earthquake in Japan because we can find it out now. Back in our day growing up, we wouldn't have known nothing about it until a geographic book or something, you know, and they tell it, oh, this year happened this. But for the most part, we won't find out.
Bro, think about it. I think all of us was in school when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, no.
Well, I was in college. I was a freshman.
Yeah, I was in college. I don't know if I was in class.
Oh, so I'm the baby right here.
I was at work.
So I'm the baby right here. So I was still in high school.
No.
I think I was a freshman in high school.
I was a freshman in college.
They literally shut down our day, and we watched the news. Like, they brought the TV in. Oh, it's movie day. No, bro.
Nightmare.
One of the greatest or most disturbing terroristic threats to happen in American history happened in real time, fam. Mm-hmm. Well, we saw a staple in the city, like, literally come crumbling down, like, to the point where people were jumping out the building. And we saw that
live.
Not to change the subject real quick, but we talking about live TV. I remember in the 8th grade.
That means he's going to change the subject.
I'm going right back, though. I remember in the 8th grade, man.
Yeah, we ADD,
we did the old. They did the O.J. verdict.
Oh,
I was in class.
I was in class. And my homeroom teacher's name is Mr. Burroughs. and they said OJ, well, OJ was not free. Oh, I mean, he was, you know, yeah. He was not guilty.
Yeah.
I remember running out the classroom, like, we had a homeroom full of boys. We just all ran out the homeroom. But that's funny. But continue. I'm my bad. I just thought about
that's
that.
All glove don't say, fit. You must have quit. Right.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, TV, like, even though, like, they only televised certain stuff then.
But think about how emotionally invested we were
in that scene, in both of those scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you weren't even in New York, but you was crying. Or you felt some type of way.
You felt some way. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got a damp on your spirit. Yeah.
You weren't in L.A. doing the riots, but you felt the anger. You felt the tension.
And you felt the joy when they said, not guilty.
Right.
Because that was a win for our community. Like, even though we didn't know at the time, that was a win for our community. Right.
Right.
So that was the first time for me seeing.
He did look crazy, though.
Did look crazy.
No, he is crazy.
Right. He is. But that was the first time we had saw a black man win a case at that magnitude.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they thought it was going to
down. So for me, that I was running around, OJ Juice. I didn't know what was going on, but that was a win for us, for our community. Even though he was OJ, he went black. But that's a whole nother story.
Gotcha.
His skin. Yeah.
Right, but fun fact, my grandmother was actually supposed to be in New York.
When that happened?
Really? When that happened.
Bro, I was there in New York 4 months. I think 4 months prior to it happening. Literally at the top of the Twin Towers.
Wow.
I remember it to this day because I remember looking down and the wind was so strong. It's like you had to just kind of stay close. But if you look down, it was like you were just looking at a bunch of ants, just at the rows, the lines. You could barely see the yellows from the taxis. But I remember it so well, not knowing that just months later.
That was C6S.
Walking to work and my boss looking at the TV and I'm like, what's going on? And that was the first plane. And we just sitting there looking at the second plane.
Like, so we can talk about that too. Like, even from that, I have traumas from that now. So, like, when I'm coming down out in Westfield and planes go over.
Bro, no
like
lie.
I feel some kind of way about that. And, like, when you coming down 1960.
Yeah. Oh, right, yes.
Right here. So, when you hit that curve, it actually looks like the airplane is getting ready to land. So, that's a trauma.
Yeah.
I almost did a full about face one day. It was me. We was going to church. Me, Maisha, Yante, Nicholas, all of us. We was in there. And I saw her come, and she looked at me because she knows I don't do to it. And it was one of them big planes, too. But I still remember those planes hitting the tower. Mm. So now when I see a plane, in my mind, is it going to land here? Is it going to crash? And then sometimes from watching silly movies, stubby falling out. You know what I'm saying? So you get those traumas and you get those things in your head, and it's hard for you to evolve, especially when it happens real life, or it happens to so many people all at once. Mm-hmm. Like the Twin Towers is something that you'll never forget.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And look at the fact that we are talking about the different traumas from us watching something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then we're not the ones who actually felt it.
Right.
We're not the ones who might have like real mental or physical trauma from all these incidents we're talking about. But yet we have this television emotion.
Right, right.
They have the physical emotion.
It's something when you have experience to back up what you've only seen from a distance. You know what I mean? So, like when I was talking about, you know, how at one point, you know, me and my wife and children were in the car on the way home. We get pulled over by a policeman. He's flashlight all in the back seat, you know, on my daughters and, you know, just looking through and didn't want anything. But it wasn't until, you know, later on at night, I could see on the news that something had happened in the area. So I guess they were just pulling over anybody. But that experience was traumatic for me because I had all of this media to suggest to me and paint the picture and tell the story of all the possibilities of what could happen. You know, and you see that even now. I mean, that was back in, I don't know, early 2000s. But, I mean, you see it now where you see, now it's a different impact when I see the young man who got shot with his wife in the car, or, you know what I mean? Like, there's no filter. There's no respect for family or people or just decency or just humanity. Mm-hmm. Everybody's driven by this trauma. Everybody's driven by this fear because they look at a black man and they automatically paint it and, you know, what he is, what his potential is, and what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And so, they, you know, there's already a defense. And then we at the other end of the barrel, you know, we see a cop. We see, this is what it is. This is what it's going to be. And it doesn't even matter that, like, my cousin was a sheriff. It don't matter.
They don't care.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. I was in criminal justice magnet school. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's about, it's now I have this experience to say, oh yeah, that's real. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's real. Yeah. But you know, y'all was talking about media in real time, and I was thinking that's the difference between media then and media now. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Trevor Noah, and he was talking about, you know, this whole thing with Facebook and the whistleblower. And he was just saying how he talked to two friends of his, and one friend was telling him one viewpoint that they saw concerning his show. Another friend was talking about the exact same show but didn't realize it, a totally different viewpoint, mm-hmm. as if they contradicted. Mm-hmm. And he was like, so did you watch my show? Did you see the show? No, all they saw was clips. Mm-hmm. But based on who you follow, it's going to determine what clip is shown. Mm-hmm. So they show one clip to make it support this opinion. But if you look at Fox or MSNBC, they're going to show another clip to show this. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, we talk about algorithms and everything. But my whole point is, I think that if we don't get to a place of being healed by trauma, then we get manipulated by our trauma. Because social media, scripturally speaking, he's the prince of the air. So he's going to take your memories, he's going to take our feelings, he's going to take our emotions, and he's going to play with it to manipulate us based off the trauma that we've experienced.
Yep.
Whether it's something that, you know, we experienced personally, somebody close to us experienced, or even it's just the picture that he's painted to say that this might happen. You know what I mean? And it affects our psyche.
But think about it, at the time of this podcast, what's one of the biggest controversies? When you talk about narratives, Dave Chappelle.
Right.
They're only telling part of the story, or is it that you only want to hear what you wanted to hear to be offended by?
That's true.
We have such an offensive culture. Since when do comedians have to be politically correct? They were some of the most disrespectful individuals, black or white. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so now we're talking about a society that's so caught up on what you can and can't say, because the truth is that we are getting triggered. We are having traumatic experiences. You go back to the definition: accidents, rapes, occurrences, things like of that nature. And it's just it's the psychological damage that is taking place.
Right.
Where it's like, well, I'd rather you just whoop me. Don't talk to me.
Right.
So how do we start to heal from that?
First of all, we got to seek wise counsel. And what I mean by wise counsel, go get a therapist. Like most of us need real therapy to move forward and progress. And it might take, some might take months, some might take years, because it's not really easy to unprogram some things that have been in you. I'm 35 years old.
You're old, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
Must be old, man.
I agree. I think, because, I mean, I did therapy for years. Even 2020, I did therapy. And I think that therapy is absolutely on point, but at some point therapy is kind of like a guide into a new frame or a new method or, you know, a new way of thinking. You know what I'm saying? So at some point in time, you have to do the homework as well internally. We talked about I think when we were talking about intake, or, you know, taking personal responsibility, or in this instance, just acknowledging how I feel. Why do I feel the way I feel? How is this impacting me? And then, is there another way that I could be feeling about this situation? Or is there a pathway? You know, like, is this feeling legitimate? You know what I mean? Is it a correct feeling? Is it true? You know, because sometimes we can have experiences, but it's how we digest it that determines where we go from that experience.
Man, one of your first sermons, you talked about perspective is not always reality.
True. It's going to be the reality of the person who has the perspective, but it may not be the truth.
The actual truth behind it, right? Yep.
Because we see through our lenses. It's a book called The Love She Wants, Respect He Needs. It talks about marriage and couples, but it talks about the woman having the blue glasses, the man having the woman having the pink glasses, the man having the blue glasses, right? But it's the idea of, until she puts on another person's glasses, or until he puts on her glasses, you know, their thoughts are going to be so, in, for lack of better words, they're going to be so selfish, because it's only going to be my perspective and we're never going to see the other end of it, to see it from a different angle.
So when I was sitting here thinking, Ross said, "What? How do we heal?" And the word I thought of was empathy. So basically, we don't. So therapy is okay. Therapy is okay, but some people can't get therapy.
Right.
But what we can get is love. So if we have empathy for people who have been through traumas, who have been through certain things, and not criticize them or talk about them, and just put ourselves in their shoes and understand, how would you feel if this happened to you?
Right.
How would you feel if this happened to your family members, or if this was a situation that you could have gone through? And then I think we can heal better, because we could help people heal versus tearing them down, even though we still seeing them hurting.
I think the therapy is good, and what you said is good too. I think a therapist opens up windows that you haven't looked out of.
Yep.
Right. So I'll be transparent. All my life, I had an issue with dark-skinned women.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I didn't know where that stemmed from.
Yeah.
It stemmed from my biological mother, because she abandoned me at 2 months. Wow. So my life, I always targeted bright-skinned women, subconsciously not knowing it was because of that. So when I had my first therapy session, this was in college, she said, hey, bring a picture of your mom and bring a picture of all the ladies that you dated. And every dark-skinned girl that I dated, I thought she was the devil. Based on the trauma I had that left me. And they wasn't. And, you know, you do kid stuff. Sometimes one or two of them were bad, but it wasn't to the extent that I had, because it was the, you know, you left me at 2 months. You didn't want me. So for the girls, it was kind of like every time I tried to do something, give you my best, you moved the goalpost. I wasn't good enough. So she had to tell me that. If she didn't give me that window, I would have still been chasing something that probably still wasn't good for me based off of a color. Now, y'all know I'm married to a chocolate woman now, and that's the best thing that has ever happened to me. However, if I'd have been
stuck. Notice how
you
said chocolate woman.
Chocolate woman, yeah.
You called the other one dark skin.
Yeah, this chocolate.
My milk chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate. There you go. If I would have used that same trauma, I'd have missed out on what was for me. You know,
right.
So it starts with the little things, and I think that going to a counselor or seeking counsel from somebody else that can let you see from another window, saying, hey, what you're seeing is not what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And they're able to break it down to a point of from their experience or from their education. So it's ways to heal. And that was traumatic for me because, and I say this too, every dark-skinned girl that I dated that was good to me, I dogged them out.
For absolutely a long period of time.
Due to the fact it was.
Again, he said dark skin.
Yeah, right, dark skin.
Then call him chocolate.
Due to the fact that I felt.
Because Maisha was set apart.
Yeah, she was set apart.
So it's chosen.
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 Yeah. Royal priest.
There you go. There you go. But I treated him so bad due to the fact of the traumas that I had. So I was guilty for being evil to them or mean to them, and I had to be accountable for it.
Right, right.
So I had to apologize to some of these women years later. Hey, yeah. I apologize for being such a butthole to you all those years, yada, yada, yada. But then they gave me more grace. It gave me more mercy in certain areas. So it's being able to look through those different windows, because I wouldn't want anybody to treat my daughter the way I was treating them, because it was terrible.
So go ahead, Phil.
I can't help but to think, and you gave me the okay or the nay on that, about your mom and how supportive she is of you and your decisions and the candidness, like the conversations y'all have. And the reason why I say that is because healing is not a, even though it's impacting you more so directly, it encompasses some sort of community, some sort of support, some kind of aid to do it, because you can't heal alone by yourself.
So with that, so I tried to heal with my biological mother. It just didn't work. So I've took the steps of saying, hey, I've forgiven you for everything that you've done to me, but it's not reciprocated. So I have a 9-year-old. He's never seen his biological grandmother due to the fact that you're mad at me for me healing.
I'm talking about your current mom.
My current mom, she dope.
But think about that. He was basically saying...
Yeah,
you could have been so traumatized from what your biological mother did that your relationship with your mom could have been affected.
Of course. And it has been. And it was done because, so my mom's first lady, Mm-hmm. She, what you see is what you get. She gonna check you at everybody, the front door, at the back door. You don't know what you gonna get that day. Yeah. So, growing up, I was guarded. So I didn't think she was a bad parent. I think she did everything she could for me. But my dad was everything because I didn't. A man had never did anything to me to make me not like them that was close.
Right.
I knew the stigma of loving a mother that didn't love you. So I knew the woman that raised me loved me, but there was a lot of growing pains. Like, is she gonna leave me? Mm-hmm. Does she love me like she says she's gonna love me? Is she gonna get up one morning and say, hey, I don't wanna do this anymore, go back? So for years, I dealt with that and didn't even know I was dealing with it. So like if she didn't show up to a football game because she had first lady duties, that was usually something most kids would be like, oh, okay. For me, it was devastating.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's more important to me. But I didn't know the capacity of what was going on at that particular time. Now it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, you had God first. I know that. You had to go handle your business. But in my mind, my daddy didn't miss no games. Mm-hmm. He didn't miss no game. This Negro would miss church during college season. He wasn't going to church 6 Sundays out the fall semester. So he can come see me play. So it was like a commitment that I had never seen before when it came to a woman.
But see, that's not normal. But, you know, that's another topic to discuss as far as parents only doing what they know best based on the information that they got.
Right, right.
So I want to kind of like end this episode because Q talked about empathy. Mm-hmm. And I think empathy is important. Empathy talks about basically understanding the other person's feelings. Mm-hmm. And so with this article, there's three types of ways to be empathetic. The first one is cognitive. And that's basically simply knowing how the other person feels and what they might be thinking, sometimes called perspective taking. The next one is emotional, when you feel physically along with the other person as though their emotions were contagious. And then the last one is compassionate. With this kind of empathy, we not only understand a person's predicament and feel with them, but are spontaneously moved to help if needed. And so some might say, well, which one is more important? All of them are important, and they should all be used at the same time with wisdom. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I just need you to be a friend.
Right.
Sometimes I might need you to save me from myself. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes I might need to just really see it from your perspective and be like, you know what? You wasn't wrong in feeling that way. Mm-hmm. But see it from this point. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's just, I think that if the world became more empathetic towards each other, we wouldn't have so much chaos. Because if we learn to see the views of other people, we become a thinking culture, not a hating culture.
Absolutely.
Ain't that Bible scripture? Don't quote me. It is written in 1 Corinthians. What is it? Love is patient, love is kind. It's written, you know.
All right, love, listen.
Love is love. Long-suffering,
yes,
but the greatest all of them is love, is right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to always treat and approach situations. I paraphrase it. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
We'll put the real scripture up on the screen.
Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know that scripture, too. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard it everywhere y'all done went to. But you gotta approach stuff with love, right? Yeah. Even with people's traumas. Like, you know, you can come up with somebody, and they can be like, well, you're controlling, or you're mean. But if you come with love, they'll see the love behind it. Like, even when you chastising your children,
mm-hmm.
years later, it might have been traumatic then for them while you beat them. Mm-hmm. But they, but years later, they appreciate that discipline. Like, I got coaches right now from high school. I will thank them. Hey, man, I was a fool. I appreciate that paddle.
Now, some of them, I don't like them niggas, man.
No, I had a problem with it. It's a couple of them.
No, some of them, bro. That's a whole. I'm triggered. Listen, this has been another episode of The Fellas. We got some more content that we have to discuss. So the next episodes, you might see us in the same outfits. Don't judge us. It's the same day. Mind your business.
We
have
back.
Some empathy.
Cause we back. We
and,
back.
And don't let television tell the vision.
Okay.
And on that note,
okay.
Follow us at The Fellas.
Okay.
On Instagram.
Right.
I just wanted to get it out.
Hey.
It'd be out here. I wanted to see
that was
good.
That was
I ain't find no break.
So we got Ross. We got Phil. We got Q. And of course, you got me, Jason. Man. We'll see y'all on the other side.
Peace.
Peace.
Q be dropping on boom.
At the end. Nah. And don't let the television tell the vision.
Tell the vision. All right.
That's what it do.